You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks. Whether you find yourself in a good place or a difficult place, perhaps even in a very lonely place, you've come to the right place. Pastor Richard will challenge and encourage you today with God's hope. Now, a reminder that you can always listen to, download, and even share this or any talk with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. Then, at the end of today's program, you'll hear some very time-sensitive and important details from Richard himself on the future of Richard Ellis Talks, as we're literally just trying to keep the lights on so we can continue to be God's light of hope for you and the ones you love. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is My Peeps. Now, I've said before that the closer you get to Jesus, if you follow Jesus around in the New Testament, the closer you get to him, the more you press into Jesus, the more jacked up the crowd gets. And if you can imagine a big pie circle, you put Jesus in the middle. If you move into him, it gets crowded. And you start looking around in that tight little circle and go, whoa, these are not my people. But I'm so after this person that now I've got to figure out if I'm going to press in and connect with this man, this person, then I am going to have to put up with these people. And then as it ends up and as it turns out, Jesus says, look, this isn't about putting up with anybody. This is about finding out that these are your people because they are my people. Turn to Exodus chapter 5. Pretty simple little statement. Verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel. And what did God tell them to go tell Pharaoh? Let who? My people. Let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. So now God is referring to the people of Israel as whose people? His people. Now this is may seem a little bizarre. Go to Deuteronomy, a few pages to your right, Deuteronomy chapter 7. And whether this seems fair, whether this makes sense, whether you have a category for it, you can't be overanalyzing. You can, or you can do what you want to, but don't overanalyze it. It's just the way it is. But look at what Deuteronomy chapter 7, and let's jump in here at verse 6. And this is God talking about these people. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. Now, who's he talking about? Israel. You say, well, why did he pick Israel? Why didn't he pick some Chinese group? Why didn't he pick the American Indian? He could have picked them. How long have they been here? But he picks these people. And you say, well, why did he pick them? Here's his answer. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. It's not because you had big numbers. For you were the least of all the peoples, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So, this is a very perplexing thing to some people who study the scripture and something called election, or that God predestined people or chooses people. I cannot explain it. I'm telling you straight up, I can't explain it. You think it's not fair. Why would God pick somebody over somebody else? All I can tell you is this. I am a Christian and I am so grateful that I got picked and that he gave me some picking ability to pick him back. Now you say, well, who gets picked? I don't know. I don't know who got picked. But I can tell you that the my people of the Old Testament, we'll read some of these verses that apply to those people, has expanded, and jumping ahead a little bit here, you have been included. And it's not for any other reason but that he picked you. Psalm 22, verse 25. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations, not just one nation. So you'll get these glimpses. We're going to read some of these in the Old Testament where God kind of throws out there, my people will not be limited to just Jews, but that it's going to expand and it'll be beyond just the Jews. Go to Isaiah 49:5. More of a little glimpse on this. Isaiah 49:5. Indeed, he says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones in Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. I'm going to read you some verses in a second out of the New Testament that just kind of blow my mind. I'm an outsider. I'm not a Jew. I'm not part of the picked originally. I'm a Gentile. And so are you, unless you have of Jewish descent. Why in the world God would expand it to reach out to me is just mind-boggling to me. Because he could have stuck to just my people. But look who you would have missed. He'd have missed me. You say, well, you kind of said that a little cocky. Let me tell you something. The day you figure out you got to get picked by God, you're going to get a little cocky too. In the humblest of ways. I am a servant and a child, a son of the living God. I have been born, adopted into his family. You can never change that. My dad is proud that I am his son, and I am proud to be his son. And my father is proud to be my father in heaven, and I am proud to be his son. Jeremiah 2. Sometimes the reason that the phrase my people is used is that God's not focusing on people that aren't his people. He has enough challenge getting his own people to do the right thing. So Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods, but my people have changed their glory for what does not profit? Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And God says, that's what my people have done. So before we go jumping out there and say to the world, well, they're doing all these things, I highly recommend this. Before you go wagging the finger at the world, you might consider climbing in a closet and say, okay, God, forget all that. What's up with me? What's going on in my heart? Before I start judging all the racism in the world, I wish I could tell you I'm not racist. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. You say, but look at all these people. We're all together. Every one of us has the propensity to look at someone else in the flesh and think things you shouldn't be thinking. Go to John chapter 10. Now we're going to have to pick up the pace and read a bunch of this, but it's pretty exciting stuff, so I'm going to try not to leave any of these out. John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then look at this. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, that they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Go to John 17, verse 18. This is Jesus praying a prayer, and he covers a lot of ground, but then he starts praying about the future. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, in other words, his current disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So when you start mixing it up, not just these, but these will come as a result of that. So the world starts looking, and my contention has been for decades, a lost person should be able to walk into a church gathering and go, there is no explanation for this. Before a note is played, before a sermon is preached, before anything is done, a lost person ought to be able to walk into a church and go, these have to be followers of Christ because you can't do this without him. Not possible. By this will all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. And we are not all my people. But something starts to happen. Now you say, but we're missing out on a ton of people. Let me tell you who we miss out on. And we get a ton of tourism. We get people who blow in here, they listen on the radio, or they come in here and they go, wow. And this is the comment I get. Wow, this is like a New Testament church. I go, wow, you're right. And they go, wow, this is so amazing. I go, yeah, wow. And then I say, are you going to come back? Wow, I don't think so. It's not my people. Now you say, well, no one would say that out loud. But what do? They go hightailing it back to their people. because this is too hard. Now, one of the benefits of this being so hard is it's self-pruning, because you can't do this without God. We got white people in here that were raised to fear black men and some white women. I'm just saying, some white women, some black women. And we got black people and Hispanics. We got everybody, all these things going on. You got to lay your stuff down at some point and just find out, can you love a brother? And can a brother just be a brother, whether he's black or not? Go to Acts 13. And this I had not seen till this week. This is so amazing. Acts 13. Just when you thought you had read your Bible. So I don't have right time. Obviously, I'm going to jump in here at verse 42. I don't have time to read you all this background. But Paul, Barnabas are here, and he's preaching this long sermon, telling them all these things that have happened. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, look what the Gentiles do. The Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. We are begging you, please come tell us more about this. Sometimes you can invite people to church, you can't even come. When Jesus shows up, they're begging you to tell them more. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, now look at these words, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. Now, if you look at Jesus and follow Jesus around when his ministry starts, he is almost rude to non-Jewish people. So a Gentile comes in and says, well, even the dogs get the food from the table. You know, he says stuff, you go, wow, what's going on? Jesus was so obvious and so clear that he had come first to his people, to the Jews, and give them every chance to see the miracles, to hear him, to witness what was going on, and they rejected him anyway. So before it got expanded, Jesus made every attempt to make sure there was no misunderstanding. I have come to the Jews first, my people, but we're about to blow this thing up. So they mentioned this. It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Let me say this in the middle here. If you have been appointed to eternal life, believe. You say, how would I know that? You know that because you hear loud knocking on your door. No one gets saved. No one becomes a Christian. No one knows they're picked without hearing the voice of God. You don't just go, oh, well, I think I'll be religious now. That's not what we're talking about. God himself shows up in your life and impresses upon you your need for him, an awareness of your sin, a need to change your mind, to repent. And you say, wow, God, I need you. I don't even know where this came from. Someone shared with me that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead. I need this. You can't make this up. So if you sense that you've been appointed to eternal life, then just believe. Don't argue with him. Just say, yes, I'll take it. Thank you for coming after me. And why I got picked, I don't know, but I picked back. Romans 9. Gosh, this is great stuff. Romans 9. Everybody got 9, verse 22. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, in other words, the people, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah, in other words, wiped out. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, and as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. You will not make heaven without Jesus. It's a stumbling block for Jews. It's the only way in for everybody. Romans 10. Romans 10, right, the next chapter, verse 12. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No distinction anymore. You say, but I'm a Jew and I got preferential treatment. There's no distinction. Jew or Gentile, the only way to get in, the same way. Go to Romans 15, verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope. So you say, well, what are you getting at? Old Testament, my people. New Testament, my people. Any and everybody. Galatians chapter 3. Now this one maybe even is a little weird. It's so all-encompassing that it's almost offensive. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Everybody got Galatians 3, 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. We've established that. Now look at this next one. There is neither slave nor free. The Bible applies to slaves. You say, but slavery is a horrible thing. There's a lot of horrible things out there, but they exist. There are slaves all over this world today. They cannot change their lot in life, but they can change their heart and their destination in eternity. How is it possible to be a slave and be a godly slave? Plenty of people prove that in this country. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. Now, don't go hijacking this verse, because I got women out there, men who argue for them. See, the Bible says there's not male or female in this context. But there are plenty of verses that talk about men and their responsibility to lead. And women go, well, that's not fair. I'm not asking you what you think. I'm telling you what the book says. But women aren't any less than men. No one ever said that. I'm not apologizing for God saying that men should lead. That's what it says in certain categories. And if you don't agree with that, how is your family working out for you? You're right. In this context, neither male nor female. You show me a man who gets the Bible, I'll show you a woman who loves being a woman. And you show me a woman who doesn't understand the Bible and leadership, and I'll show you an unhappy woman and an unhappy man and a tough marriage. Tough marriage. Okay, neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay, so these verses, well, you say, why are you reading all these verses? We are equal. I don't care what color you are. It's about the heart. And there's other verses talking about the same thing in Colossians chapter 3. I got to read you Titus chapter 2. I'm jumping over some, but that's all right. All right, Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself what? His own special people zealous for good works. I am part of that. I am part of God's own special people. If you don't feel special yet, I pray you'll feel special very soon. How in the world can you not feel special if it dawns on you that God let his only son leave heaven, be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, be crucified, buried, raised from the dead, and the only explanation we can come up with is us. He came after me. He came after you. How can you not be special if he came after you? You say, well, I feel bad about myself. Let's work on that. Get you some verses about how much he loves you, that he chose you. Go read Ephesians chapter 1 for about a year. Marinate in that for a while.
You know, you say, well, you get all excited. I didn't know this. I didn't know he loved me. I missed it somehow. I didn't know he picked me. Even if I'm a complete screw up, he's going to keep me. I almost flipped somebody off in traffic the other day. You know, you just have those moments and something enters your head and your hand almost cooperates. And then you go, what am I thinking? It'd be just my luck. It'd be somebody that knew me. And you say, well, why would you say that? Because we all are this way. Please don't walk around like you got it all figured out. That makes it really hard on the rest of us. I grew up sitting in rooms like this where the preacher was up here and you might as well put a moat between the preacher and the crowd. No way to attain to that. Man, he had it so going on, he might have had dinner with Paul the night before. You know, he's just like, holy cow. Then the longer I live, I'm like, dude, those people may be more screwed up. Maybe they're trying to keep him away from us. That's what's going on. If you've got some stuff figured out, then sit down with somebody and go, wow, I'm still working. This makes sense to me finally. Let me share what makes sense to me. I'm still struggling over here because I haven't gotten there yet. But I'm in process. But if you need help with this, I can tie my shoes. I can show you how to tie your shoes. Two more. 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's a little bit more of the same, but I just like that it's in here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, wait a minute. Now we're a nation. A holy nation, and then look at that next phrase, his own special people. Now, does that make me better than anybody else? No. If you ever get this stuff, then when you meet someone and you start to thinking, you know what? I don't think they're Christians. That's not a judgmental thing. That's like, wow, dude, I got to tell you about something that happened to me. I got a new passport for a whole new nation. I got visa into heaven. Now, you may not be interested in this, and I don't know if you're picked or anything. You know, you don't want to say that, but but let me tell you what happened to me. God revealed himself to me, and he's just forgiven all my sins. And when I die, I'm going to heaven. And if I screw up, he forgives me. It's unbelievable. Would you be interested in getting in on that? They go, dude, what are you talking about? And you go, I guess not. Or they go, wow, they're almost begging you, tell me more about this. Because my life's not working, and it looks like yours might possibly be working a little better than mine. Tell me about your Jesus. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And then Revelation talks about chapter 7, multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. My contention has been, we believe we're going to all this family is going to spend eternity in heaven together. Why can we not be together for a few hours a week at least and practice? There ain't no South Heaven. So my first suggestion is this. Make sure you're one of God's peeps in the first place. You say, how do I do that? You don't just hear, you believe. You receive. It's as simple as just responding to God in a prayer and saying, I hear you, I get it, I want it. And then some of what I say is not just to us in this room, but it's beyond here. And if you're listening beyond here and you say, yeah, I sense that something's not right, then take a step, go find a place and say, Lord, could this be it? Where it's not just people like me, and try it and let God get you out of your comfort zone maybe. That as it turns out, it's not so comfortable after all. Because they really aren't your primary people. Not like this.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We hope you're encouraged by Pastor Richard's unique way of challenging us to become more like Jesus every day. You know, that's been the goal of this program since day one, to be a place of hope and to help us grow in our faith journey. So as we come to the close of another program, Pastor Richard has a very important final word to share with you today.
Hey, this is Richard Ellis, and I just wanted to take a minute to explain how this works. A lot of people think it's some mega church or we have a big donor and that's how we fund this operation, but that's not true. We have radio stations that provide the mechanism to broadcast it, and the time on there is not free. But to make all that happen, it requires money, and that's where you come in. And you are the only source of that we have. We need your help to keep the lights on and do what we do. The listeners, that's all we got. So if you've been with us for a while and you say that you're blessed and you listen and, you know, you believe in what we're doing, just ask the Holy Spirit what your piece of this is, and whatever amount He tells you, send that. And we trust Him to provide for us, but that means we got to trust you to hear from Him and follow through with that. So God bless you. Thank you for your help. Please continue to pray. The world's in a bad spot, needs Jesus more than ever. And our prayer is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you.
Your new ongoing or one-time gift means more than you can imagine. It really is the difference between darkness and light, between uncertainty and stability for the future of this program. The website right now is richardellistalks.com. The simple and secure contribute page makes it easy to become a dearly appreciated financial partner. So thank you for praying about joining this critical effort in keeping the talks coming by literally keeping the lights on. Just go to the website to find out how. RichardEllisTalks.com. And until next time, we look forward to again joining you for more Richard Ellis Talks.